Hi, team. Welcome to the Escape Podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, you'll hear a little news, and we'll examine a holocron on the basics of space missions, and maybe you'll learn what spacer juice sold at the cantinas is really for. As usual, we have an astromech standing by to record this and speed through space in an escape pod to get this broadcast to you. Are you all set, EPC-12? No, I'm sorry, buddy. I don't know how many G's you'll pull in that pod. I guess in my professional opinion, I'd say you're going to pull all the G's.
All the G's.
All the G's. Hi, Seema. How's it going and what have you been up to?
Oh, hello, Max. Things are going great. Let's see. What have I been up to? Lots of stuff going on. I'll start with ops. We, last Wednesday, we did our 16-man and we went into Dread Fortress for the first time with that group, and actually it went really well. So we got all six, we got all the bosses down. A number of people, that was their first time in, and they got, you know, to go to Dread Palace at the end and turn in their quests. It was really fun.
Get that extra relic that you get.
Yeah. I like all those relics that you have, get to choose from. We did go after that to Terra from Beyond story mode and get the weekly there, I believe. We did go to a second place because I remember we had one pug with us and he switched out to his sniper.
Right.
Yeah. So we had a full evening. And then on Thursday night, which is our Taco Harder group, we did the first two bosses of Terra from Beyond in on hard mode to get a few comms. Since we're doing progression in hard mode Dread Fortress, I think the reasoning behind that is just, you know, to get a few comms somewhere. And we don't really have the third boss in there on farm, so he's really a progression boss for us too. So rather than spend the evening trying to get Operator 9 progression going, we just hop over to Dread Fortress. And we got the first boss down there, and we beat on the second boss for a while. The second boss is really a challenge in 8-man hard mode, if you ask me.
Yeah, we've cleared that before, but this week we changed up the players a little bit, and I don't know, we weren't as on as much with the rotation on that Draxus.
Yep, we had a couple people playing different roles to fill in. And yeah, I was missing my healing partner, Stan, who had the gall to go on vacation. What's up with that?
Those crazy Canadians.
We raided on Sunday night, which is my normal raid team, LOL, or Lords of Light. And I meant to write a note here of what we did. What did we do?
No, we just did Dread Palace, and we cleared only the first four bosses in Dread Palace. I don't know why Maki didn't want to do the fifth boss.
Oh,
we were
right.
Going to do something else, right?
Right. Yeah.
So we waltzed through the first four bosses again. Oh, no. Well, we had to take a couple tries because we had to take a couple tries. It was only story mode, but we took a couple tries on the past future boss because we switched up so everybody could see what happens in the other side. And in doing that, everybody had to figure it out their own thing.
Oh, that's right. We screwed up and killed the wrong crystal. I did not know that was... I saw people beating on the wrong crystal, and I thought, oh, this will just take a few minutes, a few seconds longer, and they'll kill the right crystal after this. I did not realize that meant a wipe.
Yeah, because there's a timer ticking on the other side.
Well, I think that we didn't want to go into the last boss because we still had a couple people playing different roles, and so we didn't have... you know, our normal healing team. And I don't know, I think just...
Oh, right. No, that's... You're right. You're right. Plus, Sten wasn't there. And Makia
exactly.
said, since we don't have Sten, why don't we just wait? Because Sten's a key part of the team and he happened to just go on vacation this one time and gave us plenty of notice. And we're like, all right, we're not going to do our first kill on the last boss without Sten. So we'll put it off and we'll wait for Sten. So what did we do after, though? Did we go do something else? Yeah, we went into hard mode Dread Palace and we tried Draxus again. So we were still on the lockout.
Draxus is in hard mode Dread Fortress.
Yeah,
that's what we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez,
yeah, exactly.
Between the two of us, I think we have one brain sometimes. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So we used our lockout that was still locked there and went into there.
Yeah.
But did not get it down again. I don't know why we're messing with it.
In other news, I'm looking forward to having a chance of getting my name back. Even though I call myself Seema and everyone calls me Seema and Vent, I actually lost that name on the second server consolidation. And I do have that name. I do have that name in my friends list, and I check every once in a while, and it's still taken up. So if that person happens to be under level 30, then I might get my name back. So I'm looking forward. I'm looking out for that.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in the news too.
I did a little poking around because I wasn't sure how to get the name changed. I'm used to it in other games. You just log into the web and you go into your account and you buy a service, whatever. But here on Star Wars, you can buy the name, rechange with cartel coins. It's 1,000 cartel coins. Or if anyone happens to buy it and put it on the GTN, you can buy it on the GTN. However, on Jedi Covenant, there weren't any on the GTN. And I did check on another server and there was one, but it was for sale for 4.5 million credits. So I don't know, maybe 1,000 cartel coins is looking better.
Yeah, that's sort of a lot. That's too many credits.
The other thing is I've been reading books lately. I grew up reading science fiction books and then I kind of got out of the habit. I just went through a period where I just read bad one after bad one after bad one, and I got tired of it and I started reading other types of fiction. And so recently I got kind of lured back into it when I read Ready Player One on a bunch of people recommending that to me. And then I was listening to Utini Cast and they started talking about this author Neal Stephenson and the book Snow Crash. And so I thought, well, I'll give that a try. And I mentioned that to you, Max, and you said, oh yeah, Neal Stephenson, you know, he's a really good author. So I'm excited because now I have not only Snow Crash, which is a known good book, but apparently he's written several other books that I have to look forward to. So I'm super happy about that. And I am like one or two kills away from that bounty contract achievement and from, you know, getting my rep all done with the bounty contract week. So I'm looking forward to that tomorrow too.
Cool.
So I'll ask you the same question. What's going on with you, Max?
Well, just to mention before we get too far away from it, on Neal Stephenson. Yeah, I highly recommend Neal Stephenson. I think I've read almost everything he's written. Maybe not all of the Baroque Cycle, but Snow Crash is a fun lighter version of some of the stuff he gets into in his later novels, but he's a spectacular sci-fi author and one of the titans of sci-fi these days, I'd say. So you'll definitely have fun with that. I do read a lot of sci-fi books. Maybe we should spin off a podcast on that sometime.
Yeah.
I have read every single Hugo Award-winning novel and Nebula Award-winning novel since the inception of those two awards, going back to 1951 for the Hugo Awards. So yeah, I read a few science fiction books from time to time.
So you're a good source for advice. I get it. I'm gonna come to you after I finish consuming Neal Stephenson, and probably Bujold as well. I'll probably read those books. The Miles
Lewis,
Kosygin books. Yeah.
Yeah, Vera Kosygin. That's a good series too. So yes. I read books, but in Star Wars, I finished gearing out my Marauder. I took my Marauder to the 16-man on Wednesday in Dread Fortress and got even a couple more pieces of gear. So my Marauder's all ready to go. I could probably even start hard modes with that Marauder now, which is pretty cool. He still doesn't do as much damage in rotation on parsing as my Mercenary. I think my Mercenary... We talked about it last time. Probably have the rotation down a little bit tighter on the Mercenary for one. And for two, the gear probably isn't all the way there, but it's close. So I should parse it out again and see where that Marauder's at. I did roll a Sorcerer. I talked about that last week. My Sorcerer's up to level 25. And that's because my daughter, I have a level 40 Sorcerer, but I'm not allowed to play it because I leveled it with my daughter. She hasn't played in a couple months. Oh, I should log in her character, make sure she doesn't lose her name. No, I think that's a subscribed
that
account
is a
that the
great
kids
idea.
Share. But she won't let me play that one. I'm not allowed. So I had to re-roll another Sorcerer because I would like a Sorcerer hanging around.
So she doesn't want you to out-level her, in other words.
Right. Yeah. No.
Even though she's not playing.
So when we would play, I would have to like not use an XP boost and give her one so that she could be at least exactly the same XP as me, if not slightly ahead. She always had to be slightly ahead in everything we did. Like when we got up to a speeder point, I'd say, okay, we'll take the speeder point to, you know, XYZ point. And if I clicked on the destination first and she clicked on it like a half a second later and I was ahead of her in, you know, like flying on the little speeders, she'd get really mad. She's like, you didn't wait for me. Wait. But then as soon as I let her click first, and then so she's a half a second ahead, you know, both you are on the speeder going between the flight points. Then she'd, the whole time she'd be like, oh, look who's ahead. You're so slow. Like, what the hell? I'm being nice and waiting for you. So anyway, so I'm not allowed to play that character. So I had to roll another Sork. The Sork's coming along fine. I'm using a...
You're supposed to be nice to your children, right?
Yes, yes.
I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah, but my Sork is up to level 25. I am using a lot of those leveling tips we talked about last show, and it's going pretty well. I'm doing PvP each day. I'm doing space missions each day. We'll talk a little bit about some of that this week. And I was pretty proud. And at level 25 yesterday, I got into a hut ball and did 600k damage in hut ball. I think the next closest was like 210k damage.
Oh, wow. Holy
so
mackerel.
I cranked some damage out. But level 25 is a little bit of a cheater level because it's the first level you get earpieces. No, implants. That's the first level you start adding implants. And I had blue gear at level 25, blue mods that I slotted into my adaptive gear. And so I was
cheater.
A little overgeared.
I mean, you can get implants at level 21, but they're just not that generally available.
Can you? Are they not crafted then? Because the lowest I had crafted were 25.
They're crafted, but you have the schematics or drops.
Oh, huh. I wonder why I don't have them on my biochem. I'll have to check it out. Well, it's not that big a deal. And obviously, you don't need them. And with all of our leveling tricks, the difference between 21 and 25 is basically like 20 minutes. So. That, and let's see, I did read some books, but I won't talk about those today. I did, though, check out, because I heard, I think Teo was talking about it, and a few people have talked about it when they talk about the SWTOR Escape podcast, which is completely different from this other cast called Escape Pod. So we did come up with the name on our own in a vacuum, and I thought it was super clever. Well, you know, nobody would ever think of this. Of course, there's another Escape Pod podcast. It's just called the Escape Pod, or it's called Escape Pod. It's been around for a long time, and it's actually a sci-fi literature podcast. It's very highly produced. It's very good quality, and it is really good. So Teo talked about it. I went and gave it a listened to a couple of their episodes. They mostly talk and actually... They narrate sci-fi short fiction, a different piece of short fiction each episode, and it is very good. It's very cool. So
that
it's recommended.
That was actually mentioned on the Flashpoint, which is an Oceanic Gamer podcast.
Yes.
And Tia was guesting on it, but that's where they mentioned Escape Pod. But we knew about it, but we just thought, you know, ours we would call our SWTOR Escape podcast, and it would be different enough and wouldn't turn up in the same searches and stuff. But yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to it too. It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, our name is completely different. It might sound a little bit
totally
the same.
Different.
Anyway, that's what I've been doing. So why don't we get to the news?
We appear to have suffered a brief technical fault. Taro, switch the feed.
Yeah, Taro. Taro, you dolt. Switch the feed, Taro. Anyway, so we do have a little bit of news this week. Bounty Week is coming back. That is awesome. It's a great event. We have some people that are back in the game and some new people that have joined the guild. And they were saying, a couple of people that had been gone for, you know, for months. And somebody was asking me, what do I do here at level 55? And I thought, and I started talking about the things, you know, here's what you do, here's what we're doing. And, there's now events that are recurring. Bounty Week is coming back next week and the Greer are coming back next month. There's really a lot of that kind of stuff going on. And I really like it. So I'm glad it's back. I don't know how much I'm going to do. I'm not maxed on rep yet, so I'm going to do a little bit, but it's pretty cool that it does cycle back like that.
That's actually one of my favorite things about Bounty Contra. And also, this, it's not the only event that does that, but talking about leveling characters, you can actually go out and kill henchmen on your leveling characters and kingpins, and you know, your whole legacy gets the rep benefits. And I mean, I just really like that aspect of it.
What else we got? We have a cartel pack coming this week, I heard.
Yep, possibly with a Dubac mount of some sort. Kind of an exciting idea. You can lumber along.
Yeah, that's only been hinted at, but since Eric Musco hinted at it in the forums this week that it might be coming this week, I'm figuring that it is coming this week. So I expect to see a Dubac mount in that cartel pack, which will be out on Friday, I believe.
Right. Not tomorrow. The new cartel pack is a few days later.
But tomorrow we have patch 2.4.3, which is coming out, which does have a couple interesting things. Did you want to talk about any of that?
Sure. One thing I wanted to mention, and I'm not a big follower of the cartel pack, so I've never noticed this before, but tomorrow after the patch, I think we should be able to see on the collections tab what's in that new pack, even though the pack isn't available yet. Is that right?
Yeah. So I saw that also. So yes, I believe that's what they're going to do, is put it in the collection. So you'll be able to sort of preview all of the items if you go into the collections tab. I tend to do my collection, my cartel pack previewing on Delphi.net, but but we'll also be able to do it in the, as you say, in the collections, which is nice.
But the big thing about this patch is the beginning of PVC ranked season one, which has been long awaited. So that's good news.
Yes, I think it's been awaited since launch. But yes, PvP season one is finally here.
And I hope the PvPers like it. I do. I hope however it's done, whatever there's about it. We're also going to have the PvP leaderboards. I hope it's, you know, exciting for them and just what they were looking for. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah, we will see. I don't know. That's a good question, how well received it will be. I think having the public leaderboards will still be an interesting twist that may get some people interested in getting their name up there. But in general, the fact that the season is finally here is appreciated in general, I think. People have been waiting for it, so them finally getting it going is good. And it's going to last a while, from what I've heard. It'll be about 3 to 5 months, I believe. And then they'll have a little bit of a break in between.
The next big thing is they're releasing a bunch of character names during the maintenance tomorrow. So by the time this podcast is released, if you had a name that you were going to lose, you probably lost it by now. But basically, if you're a subscriber, none of your names will be affected or will have been affected. If you're preferred status or free to play, as long as you've been playing your characters, they won't have been affected. Or if they're above level 30, they won't have been affected. So if you log in and your name has been flagged for rename, now you know why.
If some of those old names have been released, so I don't think it's going to affect many people that are in any way active in the game. But if you are active in the game and you are looking for a name, then tomorrow morning's the time you want to go and see if you can grab that name. And there's a couple ways to go about doing that, which we were talking about. One is checking /friend, so you can try to friend the name that you're looking for. You need to do it on both Imperial and Republic to try to see if you can get it. And if you can, then you can either roll a level one character real quick or do an actual name change. You can also just start a level one character and type in the name and try to take that name to check for it that way as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've had my name in my friends list ever since I lost it. And I've never seen that person log in. Of course, they could have easily have been a level 30 plus character. So we'll see. We will see tomorrow.
Otherwise, a couple small things in the patch, a couple fixes here and there. They are finally fixing the relic stacking. So those of you who had two relics of Serendipitous Assault, to get that little extra bonus going on, that is going away tomorrow. Did you say, Seema, did you say the J5A speeder is getting fixed tomorrow too?
That JA-3 speeder that they fixed the problem where you had to have speeder, riding 3 for it to work. Now you should be able to learn it at, you know, writing level 2 and 1.
Why did I say J5A? What is that? I don't know. I don't know what that is.
I don't know. It's probably J-A-3? Something in one of your Hugo award-winning books.
All right. Are you calling me out as a sci-fi snob now?
Hey, if the shoe fits.
All right. Okay, but I think that's about it for the news. We do have a segment, though, today on something interesting.
You're the one who brought me this magnificent holocron from the tomb of Marco Ragnos, yes?
Yes, my lord. I found the holocron.
Unbelievable. 1,000 years buried in that tomb, the Sith lords passing it by. And then the most unlikely person comes along.
Yes, the most unlikely person comes along. Sith apprentice Bilbo Baggins.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, yes.
Found the one holocron.
The one holocron. You have to take it to Ord Mantell and dump it in the volcano. Yeah. So yes, we have a holocron this week that we are going to examine on the basics of space missions. So we did talk about space missions a little bit last week as being something you can do while you're leveling. There is good experience. In fact, I was chatting on Twitter with someone. I need to look up his name because he's pretty cool and I've traded some tweets with him. But we talked about, he pointed out there was some analysis on gaining experience per hour. And one of the devs in one of the development sessions had actually said, if you look at the math, at level, a lot of the space missions are some of the fastest XP per hour you can get. So I do space missions. I do the space dailies that are at level on my characters as I'm leveling up. And I do them on occasion on higher level characters if I'm going after something like something that costs fleet comms or just wanting to goof off. So I figured we'd spend some time talking about that. So what are space missions? Most people know what they are in general, but we're not talking about Galactic Starfighter, which will be coming out in a couple months, next month for subscribers. This is the PvE mini game solo play that you can have in game. So they're only about 5 minutes long, each of them, and it's you get in your ship and you get in your pilot seat and look for the space missions that are available, or look on your galactic star map and go after any space mission that's open and do your little PvE mini game. That said, I think they're pretty fun. You know, as a little side mini game in the game, I've always done them over time and have gotten enjoyment out of them. What about you, Seema?
I like to do them. Anymore, I use them for filling in. Like if I have a bunch of gear waiting for me, say at level 25 and I'm level 24 and a half, instead of, you know, I might be in the mood, instead of going out to finish that off with quests, I might sit in my ship and do space missions. Because like you said, if you do them at like level, they're an incredible amount of XP, especially if you have a boost on.
Yeah, so why do the space missions? That is one of the key reasons. You do get good experience for doing them. You get credits for doing them. You get fleet commendations for doing them. And then fleet commendations are a type of currency that you can spend on the fleet. There's a vendor on the fleet, and you can buy, there's some adaptive gear you can buy. It's a pilot suit. There's some special ship parts that you can end up buying. And I think you can trade them for some things that you can sell on the GTN as well. The grade 7 ship parts that they sell on the vendor, you certainly can relist on the GTN. But there's some other things I think that you can get. Can't you get crafting boxes with them at this point?
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can get. But I think it only goes up to, I wish I would have checked this before the podcast, but I think it still only goes up to like the level 50 crafting materials.
Regardless, you do get the fleet comms as well, but you're getting credits and XP, and you know a lot of people have fun doing it too. So
yeah.
You could do it just to have fun. I know that's crazy. So how do you get to your first mission? As soon as you get your first ship in your class story, around level 18 or whatever level you finish up that part of your class story, either on Corellia or not Corellia, Coruscant or Dromon Kos. You'll get a ship. Spoiler. So go get in your ship, go over to the where your pilot seat is, and there'll be a console next to your pilot seat where you can pick up the space mission missions. You can do space missions without the missions. You can just click on the Galactic Star map and go into any zone where you have missions open for your level and click on one. But what you want to do is you want to get the dailies out of your console, and you'll get the extra rewards for doing that. So the very first time you go in there, the Imperial or Republic, you'll get a little cut discussion. It's not really a cutscene, but he'll talk over the intercom. You'll get a discussion with the leader of the fleet, and they enlist you. They're saying, oh, we really need your help. And you get to say things like, well, I'll show you how it's done, blah, blah, blah. See a real Sith in action. Yeah, whatever. So what you'll then get is your first mission, and it's the escort mission. You'll jump in your ship then, you'll go find that escort mission in your Galactic Star map, and you'll go and do that first mission. You don't need any ship parts, you don't need to worry about any equipment, and you don't need to worry about any abilities besides basically just flying around and clicking your mouse button. And we'll talk about the controls in a second too. From that mission, you'll get actually your first mission reward in addition to XP and credits. You'll get an item, which is a piece of gear that you equip into your ship. So your ship itself has gear slots. So if you open up your character page, you can click to the ship tab and you can see the six main character spots and then four advanced gear slots. The first thing you get is some ship armor off of that escort mission. So that'll sort of get you down that path.
You should see like the ship tab on the bottom of your character page, right next to like your companion tab. And if you don't see it, just about anything that messes with your UI will make a pop-up, like talk to a vendor or mount and dismount, or you can even do the old control U to make that tab pop up. And then you can see the slots on your ship that Max is talking about.
Yep. So then how do you do the ship, the space missions themselves? Well, it is on rails. So we'll talk about controls for a second. They are what's termed on rails, which means you're not in free flight. It's not 3D space. You're not flying in any direction you want. You're basically on, you can think of yourself as sort of on a roller coaster track that's going through the path that's sort of pre-designated for you through the space mission. That said, you still need to be moving around in the screen as your ship is flying forward automatically. Otherwise, you'll be doing things like smashing into giant asteroids in front of you. So the way you move your ship around is you either move your mouse around the screen or you use AWSD to sort of move your ship slightly off center of wherever your mouse happens to be at the time or the center of the path that you're going down. I tend to use A and D a lot. When you're first starting out, you can just move your mouse around the screen, make sure you're not crashing into anything. And what you also need to be moving your mouse around for, though, is to be targeting the targets that you're going to be shooting, either other ships or turrets on frigates and large space stations or other objectives. So I tend to use A and D to move my ship around and avoid targets and sort of avoid damage a little bit while I'm targeting with my mouse separately the targets that I'm trying to shoot at. So those are your main controls. So AWSD will help you dodge a little bit. Remember the 5 Ds of space missions: dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge, of course.
Worst movie ever.
Dodgeball, it's a spectacular movie. Anyway, that's for another show. We'll talk about that on our movie show. You can also hit spacebar to do a barrel roll. In theory, doing a barrel roll with spacebar helps you dodge damage to some degree. I tried to even test this myself, and I could not find myself avoiding very much damage by doing a barrel roll. But go ahead, do a barrel roll as much as you want. I still do it if I think there's a bunch of incoming damage. But I think A and D will help you dodge the damage. AWSD will help you dodge the damage a little bit better.
What you can do with barrel roll is you can barrel roll yourself right into an asteroid, which which allows you to end your space mission early.
Yeah, if you're looking to get out, you know.
But really, if you want to jump in and try, I mean, you can do the first space mission without barrel rolling or moving side to side, because you're really not the target in that mission. You're trying to protect the target. So, you know, you can learn part of the controls at a time.
That's a great point. There are a couple escort missions. There's the first two missions that you'll get, one on each side, Imperial Republic. Then you'll get a harder version of that mission as you get up in levels. That mission, you aren't, as Seema mentioned, you aren't the main target. You just need to shoot all the things, kill all the things. My tanking strategy that I,
yes,
my ops strategy. When I'm the tank, this is how I explain ops to all my groups. Okay, in this fight, we kill all the things,
right?
Which they always appreciate. So what you need to do in those is you're basically just killing all the things, all of the ships and all of the turrets, so they don't shoot the escort, the ship, the shuttle that you're sort of escorting through the space mission. So yeah, jump right in and do that one.
And you really don't have to kill them all on that one. You just kill all the ones that you can and probably it will work.
Especially in the first one. In the harder version of it, you need to concentrate even a little bit more, but even that, not all that much more. The only other controls are left mouse button is your blasters, your right mouse button is your missiles, and we'll talk about those in a little more detail. And then you'll get some advanced abilities as you equip more of those advanced ship parts that I was talking about, and those will show up on keys 1, 2, 3, and 4. I guess let's do a quick run through of the actual ship parts themselves. Seema, do you want to talk about the ship parts?
Oh, well, we touched on the ship armor. You get a piece of ship armor as a reward for the first time you do the first mission. It's like regular armor. It increases the amount of damage you can take. It provides toughness to the hull of your ship. When you first start out, you don't have any shields at all. So your armor is the only thing that's keeping you from becoming a non-ship space debris.
You're hull tanking until you get a shield.
Right. The shield actually will take quite a bit of damage before, and once your shields are gone, as we all know from watching Star Trek, then you're hull tanking again.
Yes.
At some point you will get a shield regenerator, and what that means is it's sort of like healing for your shield. So you can your shield will naturally regen a certain amount of itself over time. It will not regen, however, if you're shooting blasters. So you need to strategically stop shooting blasters for your shield to regen. And as long as your shield has any life left in it, the hull of your ship it won't go down, the health of the hull of your ship. Once you do start to lose health on your ship, that health can never be gotten back. Your shield may regen and it might, your enemies might start hitting your shield again, but that health that you've lost on your ship won't come back during that mission.
Right, right. Then what else you get? You get a couple weird things like the beam charger and the beam generator. And all they're doing is making your blasters do more damage in general. Like they make them fire faster, they make them do more damage.
The beam charger you get as mission rewards, and the beam generator can be crafted. And then the missile magazine you started to mention, that's just the number of missiles that your ship can hold. You start out with 40 missiles, I think, and then you get 50 missiles when you get your first missile magazine. You usually have enough missiles to get your job done.
And then there are a few, the advanced items, the EMP generator, the power converter from Tashi Station, of course. The proton torpedo tube and the electronic warfare pod. So we won't get into too much detail on those, but those do some special case some special case tactics, especially in the more advanced space missions that will make your ship immune for a couple seconds. The proton torpedoes are used for special objectives. EMP generator does a blast around you. You know, you'll have to check those out. You'll want to get the power conversion module early, because that will shift power between your blasters or your shield regen and take away power from the other, whichever you happen to be. But you'll want to get used to using that early so that in later missions where you need that, you'll have that available to you as a skill.
Right. It's almost like having different stances. So like in one stance, you do more damage, but your shields regen slower. And the other stance, your shields regen quicker, but you do less damage.
And then real quick on blasters versus missiles. So your blasters are your left button. You do need to stop shooting with your left button for your shields to regen. It'll take a couple shots to kill some of the ships as you go up and level in some of the get some of the new missions. Sometimes it takes more shots, and as you get more gear, then sometimes it takes less shots, but you'll have to play with your blasters. And then missiles is your right button. So missiles, you can single target missiles. You have four in your magazine, and that means you can only shoot up to four before you have to wait for them to sort of refill. You can shoot all four at once, though. You can either single target by clicking your right button to click on each target, or you can hold down the right button and swipe over four targets, and you'll shoot all four missiles at those targets. You can also shoot missiles while you're shooting your blasters if you need to. So those are two interesting ways to use that. And then finally, the various missions, we talked about some of them. There's sort of the escorts. There's the outposts where you have to shoot parts of a space station to complete your objectives. There's a bunch of fighters and you have to shoot down all the fighters. So there's a bunch of bombers bombing one of your space stations and you have to shoot the bombers. The key to each of the missions is you'll have a primary objective or two that you need to execute. You have to blow up XYZ things, or you have to shoot down X number of fighters. What you also want to keep an eye out for, what's fun to do, is there are hidden mission or hidden objectives that you get extra XP and bonuses for, extra credits for. Those hidden missions don't show up when you first start the mission. They'll only show up after you shoot or target or finish the first whatever the first aspect of that hidden mission happens to be. Now, I know you, Seema, have at one point were quite an expert on some of the bonus missions. What was the one you did, the really hard one? That was it the shield generators on?
Yeah, the one we have to kill 10 ice mission? Shield generators. Yeah, it's like I never get obsessed with anything and go overboard with it. You know, I never do stuff like that. But yeah, I did go through a period where I was playing a lot of space missions.
You know, so did I. And that period was right before they launched the new heroic space missions and the grade 7 gear. You and I both were doing them quite a bit to get a stockpile of fleet accommodations.
Right. Yeah, they were. Because we wanted to be able to buy the new, whatever we thought we'd be able to spend our fleet comps to buy the new gear.
And the new schematics and be able to make ourselves rich. Right. I'll be rich, I tell you. And it didn't really work out that way. But we did a lot of space missions at the time. So we won't talk about it, but because this is just the intro, but there are then the advanced space missions that require very advanced gear. And then you need to once you get to that point, you will want to start looking at videos and looking at some advanced guides or ask us some questions. You want those grade 7 parts. You want to get used to using your power converter. You want to know when to use your electronic warfare and when to use your electromagnetic pulse, your EMP. Those are very difficult missions, and a lot of people get frustrated with them really quick. But with some practice, you can get through them if you know when to use each of those advanced abilities. But overall, I think space missions are worthwhile. You do get the experience from it. You get the credits. And you know, they can be pretty fun. I was doing some more tonight just to refresh myself on the level 50 ones and ran into a couple asteroids on Ascendancy Barrier. Two asteroids in the very beginning. I crashed straight into the asteroids and was down to like 20% hull health, but still finished and completed the mission. So I was pretty proud.
But if you think you might want to throw a few space missions in during the double XP weekends, I urge you to, and you've never done space missions before, check them out, you know, in the weeks leading up and practice through them, because they're a little bit like boss fights in that you can learn the mission and you can learn what happens when and where you need to zig and where you need to zag and when there's going to be a ship coming out, you know, to your right that you need to shoot, so that you can get it down so you can get those missions done in one try, because you don't want to be spending a lot of time during double XP weekend learning the missions.
Exactly. And with that, I think our EPC-12 droid here is ready to get kicked out of the airlock and experience some of those G's that I promised him. So, thanks for listening. For comments or questions, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIESEMA, or drop in on Jedi Covenant and we can get you an invite to AIE. Our character names are in the show notes. For AIE Guild information, you can visit AIE-guild.org or find us on Facebook or Google+ at AIE SWOTOR. And we will talk to you soon. Bye, Seema.
Good night.
Bye, Brunmark. Bye, Treek.
Trixie Zeke, yeah!